This is the Fighting the Good Fight podcast, defending taxpayers and solving their tax problems, with your host, Patricia Gentile. Patricia Gentile is a taxpayer defense attorney, CPA, the founder of New England Tax Relief, and Patricia L. Gentile Coaching. With 40 years of IRS expertise and experience, she has successfully defended and resolved difficult IRS situations for hundreds of taxpayers. Patricia coaches tax professionals to confidently identify their client's IRS problem and create a successful resolution plan for them. As a fierce advocate, a creative strategist, and solution finder, fighting the good fight with Patricia Gentile is both her passion and purpose to help tax professionals successfully resolve their clients' tax problems.
My guest today became my mentor before he ever even met me. And my guest is Dan Pilla. For over four decades, Dan Pilla has been the nation's leader in taxpayers' rights defense and IRS abuse prevention and cure. He has helped hundreds of thousands of citizens solve personal and business tax and financial problems they thought might never be solved. As the author of 15 books, dozens of research reports, and over 1,000 articles, Dan's work is regularly featured on radio and television, as well as in major newspapers, leading magazines, and trade publications nationwide. His many media appearances include CBN, CBS, Fox News, C-SPAN, the CBS Radio Network, the USA Radio Network, and many others. His books have been recommended by prominent magazines and financial publications, such as the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Money, Family Circle, Investors Business Daily, and more. The Associated Press once commented that Dan Pilla probably knows more about the IRS than the commissioner. The Wall Street Journal ranked his book, The IRS Problem Solver, as the number one tax book in America. Dan was a consultant to the National Commission on Restructuring the IRS. He works with numerous public policy research institutes and presented testimony to Congress. He was a member of the editorial board of the Roadmap to Tax Reform Project, which drove the Bush administration's tax reform agenda. Dan is admitted to practice before the United States Tax Court and is enrolled to practice before the IRS. Dan is also the executive director of the Taxpayers Defense Institute, a national association of tax professionals, and the founder of the Pilla Tax Academy. Dan, what I started off saying before reading your biography, you were my mentor. You became my mentor before we ever met. It was in tax season of 1994. I was a CPA. I had yet to go to law school. I was working on a client tax return, sitting there. And in the back of my mind, I had a husband and wife who were friends who had been audited for 2 years of their tax returns. The IRS was doing a tax preparer's audit of all the clients of this tax preparer for 2 years. I didn't know what to do for them, because the result of the 2 years of the audit was $60,000. And they didn't even understand why, at much less be able to pay. So I'm sitting there doing returns in the middle of the day of tax season in 1994, and I'm listening to Boston Talk Radio. And I hear this ad for your New York Times number one bestseller, How to Get Tax Amnesty. And I immediately called up Barnes & Noble and ordered the book. I actually followed step by step how to prepare and submit an offer in compromise. I won that, and we were able to get an offer accepted for $7,000 of the full $60,000, and the IRS was even going to allow them to pay that in 24-month installments. And in 1994, nobody knew about this. Nobody knew about this at all. I don't even know if the IRS had a website at that point. I was able to get the forms as a result of you having copies of them in the book and following it. And so that is my very first case in taxpayer defense and resolution. And I've been doing it for 30 years since. Interestingly, this tax preparer, he was a revenue officer for 15 years with the service, with the IRS, and that he was now going to be serving 1 year federal prison time as a result of what their findings on all these audits. And after tax season ended, I spoke with you and I became a member, a consulting member of the Taxpayer Defense Institute. And now I've been on the advisory board for a half a dozen years now. And what I wanted us to discuss today was a client coming in with an IRS problem. You know, what would be step one for a tax professional to be able to do right off the bat to get things started for them, to get their resolution?
Well, that's a good question, Patty. And first of all, let me thank you for inviting me onto your podcast here. It's my pleasure to be your first guest with your new podcast. I wish you the best of luck as you go forward. And you're the perfect person to do it. You're knowledgeable in this stuff. You've got the great bedside manner talking to people. You've got the kind spirit and the sweet tone. And this is gonna be good as far as I can tell. So I'm glad that you're moving in this direction. And this is a very, very common question for tax professionals that are just getting into this business. And not just tax professionals, but the taxpayers as well. When they're hip deep or neck deep in these tax problems, they think they can't get the situation resolved. They don't know where to start. They don't know where to turn to get the ball rolling in the direction that it needs to go. And so step number one is almost always the very most important step in the process, true for tax professionals, true for taxpayers. And the very first step that has to happen, the thing that has to start to get the problem resolved is to stop the bleeding. And by that, I mean, you got to get off what I call the tax debt treadmill. And the tax debt treadmill is a situation where you've got this string of delinquencies going on. You've got, four or five delinquent tax returns that you're faced with, and here we are, another filing season is staring us in the face, and you haven't filed these returns for the last 4 or 5 years. You haven't paid taxes for the last 4 or 5 years. How am I going to pay taxes this year when I haven't paid taxes before? How am I going to file my returns for this year when I haven't paid taxes before? What do I do? It seems impossible. The very first step is to stop the string of delinquencies. All right. So whether you're 1 year delinquent or 10 years delinquent, you have to stop the string of delinquencies. And the way you do that is by getting current. And here's what I mean by getting current. You file the tax return for the current tax year, and then you pay taxes for the current tax year. Now, here we are in the in early 2024. The filing season for 2024 has just started. We're going to be filing our 2023 tax returns here now, coming up in the next couple of months up until April 15th. If you're on an extension, of course, you get till October 15th, but we'll be filing the 2023 tax returns. So that's the return that has to be filed now. Even if you're delinquent for 2 years or 20 years, it doesn't matter. File the most current return now, which is the one that's due now, 2023. All right, so that's the first thing. The second thing then is to get current with estimated payments. The people make the mistake. Almost all people that are delinquent on their taxes make the mistake of using current tax revenue to pay back tax liabilities. In other words, they're making installment payments of $400, $800, $1,000 a month that are going to the old liabilities, and nothing is being paid to the current tax liability. This just makes matters worse. For every 1 year of current taxes that you pay on delinquent liabilities, you become probably 2 or 3 years delinquent on future liabilities, because interest and penalties is never enough because of the interest and penalties, your partial payments are never enough to get these back tax liabilities resolved. So every step forward, you take two steps back. You can't keep doing that. All right, you have to make current estimated payments. Now, here's the dirty little secret about the IRS that too many revenue officers, the tax collectors that knock on your door, don't tell you. All right, the IRS will not play ball with you if you're not current. If you owe $100 to the IRS and you got a missing current tax return and you're not making your estimated payments, they will not set up an installment agreement on a $100 tax liability. They won't settle in an offer and compromise for 99 out of those $100 if you're not current. On the other hand, if you owe the IRS $1 million and you're current with your return filings and you're current with estimated payments, they will play ball with you. You could settle for 10 cents on the dollar, 5 cents, 2 cents, maybe a fraction of a cent on the dollar, depending on your income and expenses. But it will never happen if you're not current. They won't play ball. So you have to get current with estimated payments. That means here we are in 2024 now. The calendar's rolled over. All right, so now we're in tax year 2024. Even though we're filing 2023 tax returns, the tax year that we're in is 2024. So all of your payments have to be designated to the 2024 tax liability. So all estimated payments are made, either through wage withholding. If you're an employee, make sure you adjust that withholding so that you cover your 2024 tax liability. Or if you're self-employed, which a great number of people are, of course, you have to make estimated payments at least quarterly with the IRS. And I recommend you make them monthly, especially if you're in trouble with the IRS, so they can see the payment pattern of the estimated payments. And that way there's no question. And then plus the fact that if you're making the payments monthly instead of quarterly, it's a lot less painful. All right. A lot of people don't save that money up for a quarter. And now they're hit with a $3,000 or $4,000 estimated payment liability. And guess what? They don't have the money. But if you're paying it monthly and it's 800 or 1,000 or 1,200 bucks, that's obviously a much smaller pill to swallow. So the first thing you got to do is get current. And then the heart of that is PILA's first rule of tax debt management. You read this in my book, How to Get Tax Amnesty. PILA's first rule of tax debt management. If you got money to pay the back taxes or money to pay the current taxes, but not both, never pay the back taxes. And this is counterintuitive to people. And it especially when you're dealing with the IRS on your own and you don't understand how this stuff works, because they're going to pound you to pay the back tax liability. But you can't pay the back taxes at the expense of staying current. If you've got money to pay the back taxes or money to pay the current taxes, never pay the back taxes. Pay the current tax liability, because they will negotiate on the back tax liability, but they will not negotiate on the current tax liability. You have to make those payments. So you got to move heaven and earth to get that done. For a wage earner, as I said, you got to adjust your withholding. Look at your situation. Figure out what your tax liability is going to be. Get professional help from a CPA or somebody like Patty, an attorney, an accountant, to get this done correctly. If you're self-employed, you need to be producing a profit and loss statement on at least a monthly basis, at the very, very least quarterly, ideally monthly, so you can see exactly what your profit situation is on a quarter-by-quarter basis, on a month-by-month basis. Because for self-employed people, of course, business is up, business is down. You don't have to make estimated payments based on phantom income. You make the estimated payments based on your actual income. So we need to know month to month what your income is so we can structure those estimated payments accordingly. So for you tax pros that are learning this business, the very first step you have to take is to get that client current, Patty. That's the key.
I wrote some notes here, Dan. A couple of things that came to mind to me about that when you mentioned, here we are, 2023 tax year returns are being prepared now. Don't worry about preparing a 2023 tax return right now. And when you go back and you do the prior year's returns, there may be carryovers and carry forwards that will cause you to have to amend the 2023 return. Not a problem. Just be comfortable enough with being able to file a 2023 complete and accurate return as you know right now.
Well, and let me interrupt you, Patty. That's a
Yeah,
good
go
point
ahead.
because very often when you got a string of delinquent returns, the common misconception is you got to file all these old returns first before you can file the current one. Well, you just pointed out a very important thing. You can always amend that tax return. You got 3 years from the date the return is filed in which to amend it. You can't be considered current if you've got the most recent tax return that's unfiled. So you got to get a file. Now, what I recommend people do is work backwards. All right. So what I want that client to do is I want to get those three most recent tax returns filed as quickly as I can. So we're talking about 23, 22, 21. Now, there's a couple of reasons for that. First of all, you're demonstrating to the IRS that you've closed the door on the string of delinquencies. This is very important for getting the client current. But there's a second reason, and that is this. A lot of times, not always, but often W-2 wage earners have refunds coming back to them. And this is one of the reasons why people get themselves into trouble. They think, oh, the IRS owes me money. I don't have to worry about filing my tax return. Well, maybe that's true. Maybe it's not. But here's what the reality is. If you file that return more than 3 years late, you give up your right to both a refund and a credit for any overpayments, right? So I want to get those three most recent tax returns filed that if there is a refund that's owed, then my client's going to get the benefit of that refund. And that refund could either be carried back to the delinquent years, or if there's no liabilities for delinquent years, guess what? My client's getting money back. Whereas he thought he had a big problem, maybe he doesn't have a problem at all once those returns with refunds are done. So don't give up your client's right to that refund by delaying the filing of the returns for the most recent 3 years. So that's a good point you make there.
Excellent. Going to your point about you have to have your books and records current to be able to project a good estimate. If you're working with the IRS on your back years, they're going to ask you for current financial information anyway.
Right,
so you're killing two birds with one stone. You're being current, not only estimating what you should be paying currently, but you'll be ready when the IRS needs you to submit that collection financial information statement form. One of the biggest benefits that my clients have gained be organized. And almost all my clients have said, not only now that I've organized this information to prepare these prior year returns, but I already have my folders now set up for the current year, and I'm already filing stuff in them right now. And it's just a big breakthrough and a big relief to them going forward. They really feel like they can see a light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, you make a critical point here, and this is particularly applicable to the tax pros that are listening to us, EAs and accountants. For most small business people, I would argue that the majority of small business people have no idea, Patty, what kind of records they're going to be keeping, what they need to look at, how they need to organize them. And I'll tell you, probably not 2 out of 10 small business people know what a profit and loss statement is or know how to make one. Profit and loss statement is the key to staying current with the Internal Revenue Service. It is, in my opinion, the most essential tool that we have in keeping our client, getting and keeping our clients current. So for you as a tax professional, an EA or a CPA, this is a service that you can provide to these people that is going to lift a huge weight off their shoulders. It's going to lighten the load for them considerably, because for small businesses that I know, their filing system is the floor of the front seat of their pickup truck, right? They get their records, they dump them on the floor, they put them in an envelope, they stick them in a box. Who knows what they do with them? Half the time, they don't even save the records. So this is a system that you can get these people on that's organized and simple. The key is simple so that they can follow it. And then you as the tax professional can babysit that on at least a quarterly, if not a monthly basis, so you can keep them on track. And this is value that's added to the services that you provide. So you're not just seeing these people one time a year to do a tax return. You actually have an ongoing relationship with them month after month, or at least quarter after quarter, so that you've got this engagement with your client. So when it does come time to prepare the tax return, your life is easier because the documents are already organized. Everything's already organized, and they can can provide the information to you, or even better yet, you've already got the information in your system because you're the one that's doing the P&L for them on an ongoing basis. This is a huge benefit to small businesses. They are anxious to have somebody help them do this stuff, to take the load off their shoulders. Because remember, if small business people wanted to be accountants, they would be accountants. But that's not what they want to be. They want to be doctors, or they want to be landscapers, or they want to be construction workers, or they want to be engineers. They want to be what they are. They don't want to be accountants, which is, or enrolled agents. They don't want to be tax professionals. That's our job. So we need to lift this load off their shoulders, and it's going to be a tremendous relationship builder between you and your client. And it's going to be a confidence builder for your client in terms of your services. And frankly, it's value added. And there's just no question about that.
You know what else happens about this type of service? Here's our EAs and our CPAs in the next 2 months of tax season right now, 2024. If you have clients with delinquent, you know, tax returns, non-filed tax returns, we're suggesting the first thing you do is get them in compliance with filing a 2023 tax return and projecting estimates. So the service you mentioned, like the bookkeeping assistance for their small businesses and helping them organize their information and creating the profit and loss statement, can happen after April 15th.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good point. A lot of people, because we're in another filing season and all the attention is directed at this filing obligation that we're staring in the face right now, suddenly these delinquent taxpayers think, well, I got to file all six of my tax returns. Or a revenue officer may say, well, you got to file all six of these tax returns. Right. No, we got to file one of these returns. We got to get the client current with 2024 estimated payments, and then we'll chip away at the delinquent ones going forward. So you don't have to drop everything to get all these returns filed right now.
Right. And that's excellent, because now you've added a new service or an additional clients for after tax season. And you can be involved in representing them and defending them and help them solve their tax problems. Also, being an EA and a CPA and preparing returns, you can actually prepare the returns for your non-filing clients.
Sure, absolutely.
You know how. And so you can do that as well. You reminded me of when you were saying clients needing to get organized. They don't even know where to kind of start or how. I currently have a client. We're looking at 7 years of returns. That includes the current year of 2023, who tells me that my record keeping isn't the greatest. And I said, well, what does that look like right now? Are we talking boxes? Are we talking, you know, are we talking, like you were saying, are you talking paperwork on the floor in the truck? But he said, they're in boxes. And so my next question is, are they separated by year? I mean, you actually have to really find out, because sometimes, look, I have a no judgment zone when it comes to talking to any of my clients or potential clients. No judgment zone whatsoever. And
that is a critical point. All right. I'm in the same place, Patty, a no judgment zone. The fact of the matter is, people don't wake up one morning and say to themselves, how can I piss off the IRS today? I know I'm going to stop filing my tax returns and stop paying my taxes. That's not what happens. The overwhelming majority of people that are in trouble with the IRS are in trouble as a result of no fault of their own. They got behind through some unforeseen circumstance that arose in their lives where life threw them a curveball. And in that situation, they had to make a choice between paying their taxes and feeding their families. All right. The overwhelming majority of people with problems with the IRS are not tax criminals. They're broke. They got behind somehow through circumstances beyond their control, fire, flood, hurricane, natural disaster, failed business, failed marriage, catastrophic illness or injury, drug abuse, alcohol abuse. Any of those kinds of things can put people into a position where they have to make that choice between paying their taxes and feeding their families. It's our job as tax professionals to lead them out of the woods and not beat them up for being in the woods in the first place.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of shame and embarrassment when they come
forth,
and you can hear them, you know, with the bat in their hands, beating themselves up over the head, where they're, you know, you hear, well, I've just procrastinated all this time. I really haven't. It's like, you know, let it go.
Yeah.
They've done the biggest step they've ever done at this point. They pick up the phone and they call you, or they Google you on the internet and reach out and they get it started. That's huge. That's like, wow, that's half the battle. Once somebody gets started, now there's hope.
Right.
Right.
And absolutely. No question about it. Yep. And here's the thing. The other thing that immobilizes people from getting their problem solved, and we as tax professionals need to know this, and I've got a favorite saying for this, is people will say, well, I can't solve my problem with the IRS. I don't have any money. And my response is, well, that's the perfect place to be. If you look at, there's good news and bad news. And I'll tell my clients this. The bad news is you're broke. The good news is you're broke. They can't get from you that which you don't have. So the best place to be in it to get your situation resolved is when you don't have any resources to pay the IRS. The worst place to be is to owe the IRS $1 million and have $1 million in the bank, because now they want the money, right? But if you owe the IRS $1 million and you got $2,000 in the bank and you need to pay for next month's expenses, guess what? That's the ideal place to be, because now they will settle with you for a tiny fraction of what you owe. So don't, and you as a tax professional got to recognize this also, that the best place for these clients to be in approaching you and negotiating a situation is when they are broke.
I love your motto. You have said it from day one. There's no such thing as a hopeless case.
And it's very true too, Patty. And I've said this from day one, as you point out. And day one for me is late 1970s. And I learned very early on that there's always a way to resolve the case. I don't care what kind of problem you have. I don't care how long the client has had the problem. I don't care what they've tried to do to fix the problem. I don't care who's told them they can't fix the problem. Mm-hmm. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. There's always something we can do.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one thing I have, is certainty that I will always be able to find the solution, a resolution.
Yeah,
there is a way to come up with some resolution.
Yeah, now, that doesn't always mean that the client's going to walk away for a penny on the dollar. Doesn't mean that. It may mean that the client's got to pay the entire tax, but we're going to pay it on our terms, not theirs.
Right.
Right. There's a way to resolve the problem.
Exactly. And that's a part of taxpayers' defense, is you're helping them to understand what their rights are, and you're representing them to exercise their rights. Or else if they try and deal with the IRS on their own, boy, we still hear, you probably do as well as I do, that five different people, clients, or taxpayers, let's say taxpayers, call the 1-800 number on the same type of notice, And whoever they get on the other end is going to tell them something different.
Sure. Yeah, no doubt about it. And that's one of the things that's so frustrating to people. And you know, the notices that the IRS sends out are so confusing to folks. And I got to cautiously applaud IRS Commissioner Danny Werfel, who has now announced his simple notice initiative, where they're going to go back and rewrite, a couple hundred of the notices that the IRS uses and try to shorten them up and try to simplify them. And we'll see how that turns out, Patty. I actually offered my services to the commissioner here in a letter that I wrote recently. We'll see if they take me up on that. I'm not holding my breath, but that's going to be very, very, very important step to helping people overcome this stigma and the confusion and the immobilizing fear that goes along with dealing with the IRS.
Yeah, I read his announcement about that. And I said, well, good. Let's see if they know how to simplify. Right? Honestly, God, I don't mean to, I'm not trying to be a punk here. I'm just saying,
you're exactly right. I mean, they've been simplifying notices since 1988.
Right.
Congress passed the Taxpayers Bill of Rights Act in 1988 and ordered the IRS to produce materials that use, quote, simple and non-technical terms, unquote, communicating with taxpayers. That's 1988. And here we are now, 2024, and the IRS has started their simple notice initiative. Come on, what took them so long?
Right. It's funny you said that because that's what popped in my mind. Now, how long will this take? I mean, these commissioners only serve for 4 years at a time.
Right.
I'd like to see some consistency about taking something that starts with under this commissioner and it moves forward into the next.
I would just invite your listeners, Patty, to go to my website, PillowTaxAcademy.com. On PillowTaxAcademy.com, we have a whole host of resource materials for tax professionals. We've got live webinars. We've got home study webinars. If you go to the homepage on PillowTaxAcademy.com, you'll see upcoming events. And then if you go under self-study courses, you'll see materials for tax professionals, for business owners, for taxpayers, all kinds of material that we have available to help educate tax pros in particular and the public in general on their tax compliance and tax resolution problems. So it's PillowTaxAcademy.com. I strongly urge you to go there and check it out.
And it's also on my resource page. The link to Pillow Tax Academy is on my resource page of my website, patriciagentilecoaching.com. So you can easily go there and link into it.
Well, also, and Patty, you've been coming to my Taxpayers Defense Conference since the middle 90s. I think you've been to 25 of my seminars, haven't you? Probably, or so, 20 of them anyway, over the years, where we do our two-day, very detailed, very technical presentation. And as a matter of fact, you've helped me in a great number of those seminars and our role-playing functions, and you've been a presenter at the seminar as well.
Yeah, my first one was the fall of 1994. I wouldn't miss it. I mean, thank God you did them virtually too, because it's really been helpful to when I haven't been able to come in person. Have you even thought of any potential topics that you might even present at this fall's Taxpayers Defense Conference?
Well, it is a little early, but
it's
never too early to think about two things. Number one, concepts for presentation, not necessarily specific topics, but concepts. And so that's stewing. And then the other thing is where we're going to have it. And so we've been talking about that too. And I'll run that past you and the other advisory board members here in the next couple of weeks as to what we're thinking about where to have it. And it's always at the end of October, between the last week of October and the first week of November is when we do it. We've done it that year. That period of time, every single year for 30 years, whatever we're up to now. And I think it's 30 years now, Patty. I think 2024 is our 30th year, because 1994 was the first one we did. So, this is going to be our 30th anniversary. That's kind of a big deal. 30 years, Patty, of teaching tax professionals how to deal with the IRS.
And if any of the tax professionals listening today want to know more about the Taxpayers Defense Institute, I also have the link on my resource page for taxhelponline.com.
Yeah, we do webinars there. We have all kinds of information for tax pros. It's a very long list of materials that we provide for tax pros.
Right. Even today's podcast is a resource for those who are listening. So I just want people to know that you don't have to drown in information. You can have the wisdom in short little chunks. I hope you've gained a tool, you know, listeners have gained a tool today about what to do first or next if you were wondering how to help a client solve their tax problems. You can easily gain at least one tool that you could start using immediately and get results. So thank you for your wisdom. You're still my mentor. You will always be my mentor.
Well,
no doubt about it.
I appreciate that, Patty. That's very kind. And I thank you for giving me the honor of being your first guest here. This is great.
Ah, who else but my mentor? And thank you so much. I really appreciate
it. My pleasure.
Talk to you soon, Dan. Thank you.
We'll see you soon, Patty.
I truly believe that we're drowning in information and starving for wisdom. And so I want you to know that peace of mind for you and your clients can start today. And when you know you're doing the absolute best by your client, everyone wins. So find that confidence with me as your coach. Let's talk. Go to my website and contact me at patricialgentilecoaching.com.